Oh, that's an eviction.
Let's see. Last week we left off in the middle of a whole paragraph. We're on Kuf Lamed Beis on the base. So the Gemara, we're talking about Hazra v'Halachayim v'Hakeva. Just to review again, the Torah gives 24 matnas kohuna to the Kohanim. It's talking many of them at the end of Parshas Korach this week, etc. Because Korach was ma'arer al hakohuna, he was tumbling that it's not fair that Moshe Rabbeinu picked his brother Aaron to be the Kohen. Everything is in the family. So the Rabbeinu Shlom reviews all the Matnas Kohen. He punishes Korach, and he punishes the whole Chevra, and he reviews many of the Matnas Kohen. So one of the many Matnas Kohen is whenever Yeshecht Zeyem, it's a pasuk in Dvarim, chapter Yudches, Zeyi HaMishpat HaKohanim Eisam Eizavch HaZevach Im Shor Im Set, where Yeshecht Behem Agasa, Yeshecht Behem Daka, it doesn't matter, only for Yeshecht in Chulin. So the din is you have to give. It's worth a lot of money. You have to give these matnas kohuna. So the Gemara says that they would do shtick. If you make a shutfus with a goy, or a shutfus like we do on mechiras chametz, we sell the chametz to the goy, and the chametz sits in our rishus, and we're not in violation of bal yiroi by matzah. So that's what they did, a shtick. If you have a shutfus with a goy, so the whole din was a shutfus with a coin, so the whole institution of Zohar L'Chayim HaKeva doesn't apply. So the Gemara says that you're not allowed to do that shtick, and if you do, we penalize you. So the Gemara tells a story that the people, the shochtim in the city Hutzal, were in Cherem, were in Nidui for 22 years because they did that shtick. They used to make a shutfus with a coin or with a goy. If the Kohen has a lot of money and wants to be a shutif in the slaughterhouse, then it's legitimate, then it's not a haram, it's not a legal fiction. Or if the guy wants to be a shutif in the slaughterhouse, okay. But they just made a shutfus in order as a haram, just in order to patent themselves from the matnas kohuna, so that you're not allowed to do. So they put in Shamto, they put in Cherem, the shochtim in the city who itself for 22 years. So Rabbi Barav Shela mentions this. So the Gemara asks, "L'may Hilchasa, why did he mention that they were in Nidui for 22 years? What is the significance of that gematria of 22? He ilema, if he meant to say, we didn't get anywhere, so it doesn't pay to continue to keep them in Cherem, so it may as well be Mata the Cherem. So the Gemara said, that's not correct. He ilema, if he should say, the Sulam Shamtinalu, we don't further put them in Cherem. We tried whatever we could for 22 years and put them in, it didn't help, so we don't penalize them anymore. It's not true, v'hatanya. So this we didn't do last week. So the Gemara quotes a braisa, "Bamed dvarim amurim." The Rashi over here has a strange pshat. On the side of the Gemara, it says, "I imperish Rashi b'ksubis." So Rashi and Ksubis writes, "Bamed dvarim amurim." When does the Torah say that you only give malchus arboim? Torah says when a person deserves malchus, you give 40 malchus. Mara says it's not really true. The Mishnah says you don't give 40, you give 39. Okay. So when does the halacha say that that's all you give 39 malchus and you have to be careful, he shouldn't die? If he's too weak, he's not strong enough to take 39 malchus, so you give less, you give 36, you give 33, it has to be units of 3. Because you have to give, what do you give? You give 2/3 on the back and 1/3 of the number of the malchus on the chest. So you can give 3 malchus, 6 malchus, 9 malchus, has to be divisible by 3. So, Bamed Var Mamurim, when does Allah say that you only give 39 malchus? Mimitzus Loisese. If the person showed up, get on the Avera. He already did the Avera. He ate Chazer, he planted Kelaim, he wore Shatnas, whatever the Avera was. Avol Mimitzus Asay. But what if it's in advance? He didn't violate anything yet. It's Leil HaSeder, and he doesn't want to eat Matzah. It's Asukas, and he doesn't want to shake a lulav. He doesn't want to sit in Sukkah Kagon, for example. Omam lo, the Bezin tells him, I say sukkah, go sit in the sukkah, don't do the mitzvah, ain't I say, he refuses to do the mitzvah. Lulav, go shake a lulav, ain't I say, he refuses to do the mitzvah. I say tzitzis, ain't I say, he doesn't want to, He's wearing. You're not mechuyev to go to the store to buy tzitzis. That's a midas chasidus that we do. But if you're wearing a four-corner garment, then you're obligated to put tzitzis on the four corners. So the fellow's walking around. This person walking around with a garment that has four corners, that's chayvin tzitzis, not putting on tzitzis. So then, in order to pressure him, in order to force him to observe the mitzvahs, you don't say you only give 39 times malchus. No. Makanos ad shetetze nafsha. There's no limit. You beat him up, ad shetetze nafsha. So that's, we mentioned last week, that's the question. How do you translate that? Ad shetetze nafsha, till he drops dead? So Reb Chaim Heller and his Sefer HaMitzvahs, LaHarambam, he knew Arabic. So he made a new translation of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, LaHarambam. Sefer HaMitzvahs was originally written in Arabic. And the one who made the translation writes, we always assumed he wrote out of humility. I don't really know Arabic so well, but I'm going to try to translate it. So he has a translation of the Sefer HaMitzvahs. So it's usually assumed that he meant that out of humility. He's not really so familiar with Arabic. So Reb Chaim Heller and others say, no, he made mistakes. He didn't know Arabic well. So that every so often there's a major mistake in the translation. So Reb Chaim Heller wrote a new translation of the Sefer HaMitzvah, and he has his footnotes on in Europe, when the Chafetz Chaim was still alive. They said that when it came out, the Chafetz Chaim said, you're not allowed to use the old one. Al tashkim alecha avla. The Gemara quotes it, Pasuk in Mishlei. You're not allowed to have a Sefer she'ena muga in your library. You're not allowed to have a Sefer Torah that has mistakes. You're not allowed to have it. If there are two editions of a Sefer, there's one edition of the Gemara that's full of mistakes, and then they have another edition of the Gemara that all the mistakes are corrected. So you're not allowed to have the mistaken edition at home, because you may read it and you get the wrong impression. You'll misunderstand. So that's what they say. The Chafetz Chaim said, after Reb Chaim Heller came out with his new translation of the Arabic Sefer HaMitzvah, he says, you're not allowed to hold the old one. Most people use the old translation of the Sefer HaMitzvah. Hardly anybody has Reb Chaim Heller's. So he quotes this in a footnote. When the Rambam quotes this din, Makanos HaShetetzi Nafshesh, he quotes the Shita Mekubetzes, and that Daf and Ksuvus translates, Makanos, he beat him up until he becomes unconscious. HaShetetzi Nafshesh. It doesn't make sense that you keep on beating him. He said, we want you to eat matzah tonight. We want you to sit in the sukkah today. He says he doesn't want this. So we beat him up, then we keep on beating him up until he becomes unconscious. Then what are you hitting him for now? He has no choice. You can't hit him unless he's refusing to do the mitzvah. So that's what he tones it down. Most of Sumach Shetetz Nafsha is taken literally till he drops dead. And the Shittim Kobetzin says you can't say like that till he becomes unconscious. But it's more than 39 times Malchus.
What about Ram Kalif? How did he translate it?
What?
How did Ram Kalif translate it?
No, he quotes the Shittim Kobetzin who translates Sumach Shetetz Nafsha till he becomes unconscious.
Right.
That's a Mechudish Dikah translation.
Oh, Ram Kalif translated. Oh, I see.
No, he just quotes the Shittim Kubetzes as that. In the footnotes, in Reb Chaim Heller's footnotes, he points out the Shittim Kubetzes as like that.
Even the 39 is left off, it's to the point that he says, I will be becoming the mitzvah. Then you stop.
No, the 39 is if he did an Aveira already. Did a Malachanya.
But the essay.
On an essay in advance, he doesn't want to do a mitzvah, so then the number 39 is irrelevant.
Until he says yes.
We pressure him till he agrees to do the mitzvah. He may agree without any whipping at all. If we threaten to whip him, he may already agree, okay, he's going to give in to do the mitzvah. He may agree after 5 times Malchus, 10 times Malchus, he may still not agree. Give more than 40 Malchus.
So what is it based on? I mean,
what
no pasuk that tells you that. What is it based on?
So that's Makamayan Shalom Adin. The Gemara has in Sanhedrin Shamati, we have a tradition, Shabez Makamayan Shalom Adin. So in the, there's a sefer called Megillas Tainis. Megillas Tainis starts with Nisanir Sivan Tamar, goes in the order of the Jewish months of the calendar, and it lists off all the Yom Tovim that were introduced by the Chachamim Mizman Baishen. So it just gives you the date and the holiday and what you're celebrating on holiday. Some of the holidays were 1 day, 5 days, 7 days, 8 days. Every Yom Tov was something different. It all had to do with the Beis Hamikdash. Very few halachas there. Very few halachas. So one of the rare halachas, one of the very few halachas is this. This lashon that the Gemara has, but it has an extra line. Shamati, shebezna, have a tradition, an oral tradition, Bezin has a right to administer Misa or Malkus or to penalize someone to pay money, and it's based on the Pasuk Shenemar. What's the Pasuk? Ubiyarta Aram Yikebecha, I think. He quotes a Pasuk. The Gemara doesn't quote any Pasuk. in the Megillah Steinis, he quotes the pasuk of Yatar Ramikabecha, that it's not only a tradition of the Torah Shmalpeh, it's based on the Yafusa from a pasuk. But basically what it is, the Gemara says in Yevamos, the Chachamim are authorized. It says in the Torah, we have to listen to the Psak of the Chacham, L'sasa mekaladovish yagidu lecha yom in esmo. So what does it mean, yom in esmo? So Rashi and the Chumash quotes from the Tanaim, afilu lo yamin shu small al small shu yamin. What does that mean? If the Chachamim made a mistake, let's say, yes, constructions, how do I drive from Washington Heights to Queens? And someone gives me cockeyed instruction, everything is wrong. So the rabbi gave the wrong instruction. So I have to follow the rabbi's instruction. I know it's wrong, so you don't listen. The first Mishnah in Hori says, if you know that Bez Nagol made a mistake, you're not allowed to listen. So what did the Tanoi mean? Afilu I mentioned small as Moshe mean. So Rabbi Chana Basman gives his interpretation. The Ramban asked that question. How could the Tanoim say that you have to listen to the Chacham, afilu I mentioned small as Moshe mean? The first Mishnah in Hori, it says, not so. If it's clear that they made a mistake, you're not allowed to listen to them. So Rav Chana Basman said it doesn't mean that. It means Ali Minshu small means the Torah says you have to blow shofar even when Rosh Hashanah falls on the Shabbos, and the rabbis tell you don't follow what it says in the Torah because we're afraid. Chashinan Shami Yavarena Dalaramis Bishusaram. If you'll tell people they have to blow shofar, they have to shake a lulav when Sukkot falls on the Shabbos, they may forget and carry the shofar or carry the lulav. So that's called Ali Minshu who's small. They tell you even on the Chumash it says this, don't follow what it says in the Chumash. So that means you learn out from the pasuk that yesh kach b'yad chachamim lakadov ben atayr. The chachamim have even authority to tell you to violate the mitzvahs in the Torah. So now the Gemara has a question, how far does that authority go? Lakadov ben atayr. If they're concerned, they make exer. They think it's absolutely essential. So the accepted opinion in the Talmud Bavli and Yevamos says, yesh kach lakadov ben atayr, only b'shei b'al taseh. They can tell you, don't do the mitzvah of lulav. Don't do the mitzvah of shofar. Don't do a ger who converted on Erev Pesach. Don't bring a korban Pesach. Now bring Pesach Sheni. Don't bring Pesach Rishon today. The Gemara gives a whole reason. They tell you, don't do a mitzvah. Do the rabbis have authority to allow the balabatim to drive to the synagogue on Sabbath? So the reform rabbis have more. The balabatim give them more authority. They allow their rabbis can allow the balabatim to drive to Shul on Shabbos. But we, the Bavli says that we restrict the authority of the rabbis. You only have authority, lakadov min atar, to tell you to violate, al yimin shu smol, al smol shemin, to violate what it says in the Torah, only b'shei di al taseh, not to fulfill a mitzvah. But they don't have authority to allow people to violate an aver. So the Gemara says, but here we have shamati, we have a tradition, shebez ha'makam yanshin shalem, and then they have the right to give malchus when it's not called for, and to give the death penalty when it's not called for. The Gemara tells the story, someone violated Shabbos midirabbanan. He rode on a horse on Shabbos. Riding on a horse is only prohibited midirabbanan. They gave him the death penalty. And someone did a chutzpah digger thing, a preacher's digger thing, and they gave malchus. There was no cause to give malchus. You have no right to give malchus. So if you give someone the death penalty, shaloi kedin, that's loisirtzach. That's a law of, or if you give someone malchus, shaloi din, he didn't deserve the malchus, that's a violation of Lo Yosef Ben Yosef. You're not allowed to beat someone up, even if he deserves malchus, you're not allowed to give him more than the Bezdin paskins. So what right does the Bezdin have, lakadov ben atayra, what right do they have, lahanish, to give malchus a misa? Isn't that yeshkoach lakadov ben atayra b'kum v'yaseh? So the Gemara says, yes, yeshkoach lakadov even b'kum v'yaseh, if it's lahiru ashoa, l'migda milsa. If it's only for this occasion. They can't say l'doiris. You see, when they say, whenever Rosh Hashanah falls on HaShabbos, we don't want you to blow shofar. So that's a takana l'doiris. That's over 2,000 years old. That takana was bizman by Sheni. They had that takana. It's over 2,000 years old, 2,500 years old. So they made a takana kvua. So that's b'shevi al-tasa. They can be yoke dov men atorah l'doiris. But to be yoke b'kum v'yaseh, to give miso, to give malchus, or to make a person pay a penalty at moment, that's loisigzal. What are you taking money that the Bezdin takes away money, they give it to the other person? He's in violation of loisigzal. So the answer is, if it's lahiru ashoa, only for this one case, we're giving malchus, we're giving misa, and we think it's l'migdan milsa, we think we stand the chance of accomplishing a lot with this. A lot of people are violating the din, we think if we'll give the death penalty, then we'll put an end to it. If people are violating some other avera, we think if you give malchus, that'll put an end to it. if everybody's violating the din, and you don't see that giving the death penalty is going to put an end to it, they're going to just say the rabbis are a bunch of ayatollahs, they're crazy lunatics. So then you have no right to do that. The din, the Chazanish writes. The Gemara has a din that anapikoris. We don't want to have apikorsim, so the Gemara says the Jews anapikoris is maridim alay malim. Maridim alay malim means you should encourage him to go down a ladder into a pit and then take away the ladder and let him die from starvation in the pit. What kind of a din is that? That's also, we violate gramrit sicha. We didn't kill him biadayim. We violated Ramat Sikh. We encourage him to climb down the ladder, that he should do some work for us, and then we pull away the ladder and we don't give him an opportunity to come out. So he's gonna die from starvation over there. So the Chazanish says that you can give that punishment, Ramat Sikh, if you think you're gonna accomplish something. If there's one apikoris in the neighborhood and he's trying to poison everyone's minds and you're gonna put an end to him, you're gonna give him a Misa Mishunah. Then if you think that you'll save the whole community by that, so we say Bez Makli Yonshin, even Bikumbi Aseh, you violated din Lemigda Milsa Lahira Shah. But if half of the Jews are apikursim, so every other person you're gonna do Marina Vulamala, so the Chazanish says you can't allow it Bizman Aseh. The whole din doesn't apply. The people will just laugh at their Rabbanim. You won't accomplish your goal. It's not gonna be Migda Milsa. So that's what the Gemara explains. That halacha Bez Makli Yonshin Shlaim and Adin is an application of the rule that yesh koach b'yad chachamim lakadov benatar id mikum v'yasei, provided that it's l'hayra ashoa l'migdam milsa. It's not a taconic rule of the doiris.
Is that similar to
Aveir l'shmo? Mm-hmm. Aveir l'shmo also, yeah. Based on that concept. Sometimes we do Aveir l'shmo. Rabbi Chaim Volozhin has a whole attack against the Hasidim, that they make achonis and achonis on Shabbos morning, and they go to mikveh, and they mabesedu with the children, and they learn the Gemara with the other children, until the Lord ready to daven shacharis at 11 o'clock in the morning. So they miss man kriyas shma, they miss man tefillin, missed everything. So he makes fun of that. He says that that's terrible. I bet it's an aver lishma, and they make achonis on Pesach night, and they don't get to eat the matzah till after Chatzos. And Shaila may be an ad yotze if you eat the matzah after chatzos. So he complains that they're all doing this aver lishma. Aver lishma was only koyde matan tervet. We allowed aver lishma. Yankov Avinu married shtei achoyas because he wasn't at stave yet. He wasn't commanded after the Torah was given that the Jewish people are not permitted to marry two sisters. And I can't marry the second sister if the first sister is still alive. The first sister died, you can marry her. Her sister, Lacha Moshe, is Mutter, but literally, Bechayah, when the first sister is still alive, you're not allowed to marry a second sister, even if you divorced the first sister. Now they're married the second one. So how did Yankov Avinu do it? Yankov Avinu married two sisters. So the answer is, it was Aver Lishma, because he saw Beruach HaKadosh, they're going to be Mamed the Yudbei Shvat. So Rav Chaim Volozhin says that Aver Lishma is only called a Matan Torah. After Matan Torah, there's no such din as Aver Lishma, and all the Hasidim are doing wrong. So the one of the Talmidim of Rav Chaim, right? So yeah. One of the Talmidim of Rav Chaim Volozhin writes that what the Rebbe wrote is an exaggeration. He wanted to attack the Hasidim, because even after Matan Torah, Yoel Leishis Chevra Keni is one example. The Gemara has a few examples. It's rare. It's very rare after Matan Torah. Koyde Matan Torah, the others volunteered to observe the Torah mitzvahs. That was on a voluntary basis. That was Eina Mitzvah V'Yosef. So it was easier to say, if you see that you're going to accomplish a lot, then we don't recommend you should volunteer to do the mitzvahs. You can do an Aver Lishma. And after Matan Torah, it's going to be rare instances that will permit Aver Lishma. But even after Matan Torah, in rare cases, it does apply. That's what the Talmud writes. There's a Sefer Keser Rosh. There's a Sefer that has all the Hanhogas of the Vilna Gaon. It's called Maaser Rav. Have all the hanhogas of the Vilna Gaon, and this is Sefer Keser Roish, as all the hanhogas of Rav Chaim Volozhin. So in the Keser Roish, that was written by one of the Talmidim of Rav Chaim Volozhin, and said that's what he writes, that the Rebbe wrote an exaggeration, that after Matan Torah you don't allow Aver Lishma, but the Gemara does have in rare cases. So that's what the Gemara says over here. What do you mean? Because they were in Nidui for 22 years and they still didn't do tshuva, so therefore we should stop the Nidui? No, the Gemara says you keep on punishing the person. Achetetze Navsha, you beat him up, you keep on putting him chem till he dropped dead. So why did he mention, what's the significance of mentioning that the Shochtem in the city Hutzal were punished by the rabbis? They put them in Cherem for 22 years. So we learned last week El on the first white line, on Kuf Lamed Beis, Amid Beis. The mentioning of the 22 years is, for 22 years they were doing this shtick, that they would shecht the Shorvaseh, make a shutfus of the Nachri, this legal fiction, in order to be potter from Zerulah Chayim Akeva. So you're not supposed to do that. So the Gemara says, Ella, what it means is, if for so many years they're doing that there, we have a right to punish them without any hasra. Usually, if you want to makami yonshin, shaloi meradin, you want to punish someone, misa, malkas, knas, a mammon or something, you've got to warn them in advance. Don't do this, or we call it penalize it. Here, for 22 years, they've been violating the aver, we have them in nidri for 22 years. So we have the right to punish them without any hasra. B'li hasri yosa, without any hasra. Like the Maisa Shia Kiho, the second white line, Kiho, the Rava, once Rava penalized Kanis Atma, he penalized the Shechet and he made him give away a whole half of the animal, way more than the value of the Zerulah Chayim V'Hakeva. Zerulah Chayim V'Hakeva is $200 worth. He made him give away $500 to the Kohen, because he had been cheating the Kohen for years. Without, he made a shoot for Sakam all the time. So he penalized him, he didn't have to warn him, because he already gave him tochacha so many years. Rav Nachman Yitzchak penalized Kanes Glima. He penalized another Shechet who wasn't giving the Zerulah Chayim V'Hakeva. He made him give away his kapata, his glima, his jacket, he made him give away. So that's what we got up to last week. Okay. So now the Gemara has an interesting the Yomar Avchizda, he says another din. They quoted him before. So they quoted the Yomar Avchizda, Avchizda said another din. When you have the Zerulah Chayim V'Hakeva, those that halacha require you have to give everything to one kohen. That's an awful lot of money. That's a lot of flesh, a lot of money. Let's say it's worth $200, $250. You have to give everything. No, you can divide it. So let's say I'll divide it amongst 250 kohanim. Everyone's going to get a half a kazayis of flesh. It's ridiculous. What do you give? So he says, V'yomer avchizda, v'achadina tratchizda, zroya le'echot. The zroya, the Mishnah has in the end of the Perek, exactly here, the last Mishnah in the Perek Kuf Lamed Dalet on the base tells you, the Zeraya only applies to the right leg, doesn't apply to the left leg. That's how the Gemara says. Tana Rabbana, right after the last Mishnah in the Perek, right after the Mishnah Kuf Lamed Dalet on the base, Tana Rabbana Hazra Zeraya Yamin. Hatoim is very min, maybe it's very small. No, Tamalai Mahazrai with the Hey Hayadiyah. Hey Hayadiyah means the special. So the Zraya is part of the right leg, the front leg, not the back leg. By human beings, we have arms and we have feet. So the animal walks on all four. So the front 2 feet we call arms. And the back 2 feet we call feet. So Zraya is the arm. So Hazraya is the Hazraya with the Hey Hayadiyah means the right. The foot, the hand on the right side, Hazra is, so it's only one part of the whole leg, not the whole leg. The middle part is the Zra. Den Lechayayim includes the tongue, which is a very a delicacy, the Loshim, the delicacy, and the Lechi HaTachtain, and there's a Machlekes, but it includes the Lechi HaElyon also. How much is included in Lechi? And the Keva is part of this whole belly, so part of the belly is called the keva. So this is worth, let's say, $250. You have to give it all to one coin. The Gemara says no, but it doesn't make sense to divide it. Each coin's going to get a mashahu. So Rav Chisda says, Zroya le'echad, you give the whole Zroya to one coin. The keva le'echad, and the l'chayayim, you give lishnayim. That, there's so much flesh there, that's reasonable to give it to Kohanim. But if you're going to divide it more than that, you're going to give the Zerah to 2 Kohanim and the Keva to 2 Kohanim and the Lechi to 4 Kohanim, everyone's going to get such a tiny piece that you don't accomplish anything in a Matan Skuna. The Gemara says it's not right to give all the Matan Skuna to one Kohen, you should try to share the wealth, but to share it, everybody gets a Kazais of flesh, that doesn't make sense. So you should give the whole Zerah to one, the Keva to one, and the Lechi you give to 2. Frag the Markasha, Eini, but that's not correct. When he came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, so he said, "Bima Arava in Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael is to the west of Babel. Babel is Syria. So he says, in Eretz Yisrael, Pagin and Lahu, Garma, Garma. There they divide every bone, they give it to another kohen. So you don't have to give it to one person. You can divide it up. And for the Gemara, it depends how big is the animal. The mitzvah of Zvalach Hayam Akeva says, Im Shoyer, Im Seh, whether it's a Behema Gasa or Behema Daka. So Behema Gasa is a 9-month pregnancy, Behema Gasa is a 5-month pregnancy. But there's more to it. Behema Gasa is a bigger and a fatter animal. So if you have a Zroba, you can divide it up amongst a few Kohanim, and each one is going to get a Chatich Haruah Miskabit, each one is going to get a Shtik Flesh. But if you talk, Rav Chisda is talking about a Behema Daka, a Seh, which is a smaller animal. So that, you have to give the whole Zroba to one per coin. You can't divide it to two. It's going to be too insignificant. So now the Gemara has a big famous machlokes. What's the nature of this din? Let's say you have peiros, fruits or vegetables or grain that grew in Eretz Yisrael. So you have to be, everything that grows in Eretz Yisrael is considered tevel until you mafresh trumas and maisers. Once you designate this is trumas gedolah, this is maiser rishon, this is maiser sheni, this is maiser ani, once you designate it, so even before you give away, there's a mitzvah to give the truma to the kohen and to give the maaser rishon to the levin, to give the maaser ani to an ani. So even if you didn't give it yet, that's a mitzvah to give it. Once you mafresh it, so there's no iser tevel. So what's over here? The moment you shech the behema, you have to be mafresh. What do you mean mafresh? There's nothing to be mafresh. We know what the zra is. We know what the lechem is. Mafresh v'yaymet. You don't have to. Well, you have to pick it up and say something. There's nothing to say. So the first opinion in the Gemara is, Omer Rabbi Bar Bachana, Omer Rabbi Yechana. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Yechana. Rabbi Bar Bachana. He says, "Name Rabbi Yechana. Kol ha'oichel." What does he say? Osa lechem v'behema shalohum matnaseh. You're not allowed to eat from it if you shechted an animal. So you think that after you shechted it's muta b'achila, achilas chulin. No. Kol zman shalohum matnaseh. Kol zman you didn't give away the zera l'chayam v'akeva. You're not allowed to eat the flesh. And then he says, another statement, whoever violates this din, as if he's eating tevel. Like if you have any pears that grew in Eretz Israel, you have to be mafish trumas and marises to take off the iser tevel. So when you shech the behema, all of the flesh has an iser tevel until you designate the zera l'chayam v'akeva. So it's a very peladik shita. Mar says right away, we don't have paskal like him. We don't paskal like that. Doesn't make any sense. Let's say you have the tvua that grew in Eretz Yisrael. Then you mafresh the trumagdag, then you mafresh the maisurish. He didn't give it away to the kohanim yet. As long as you mafresh it, so there's no iser tevel, even before he gave it away. So what is there to be mafresh over here? If it's mufresh v'yaymeh, the zraya is the zraya. It belongs to the shevet kuna. The lechayim is the lechayim, and the keva is the keva. There's no need to be merim. What do you mean hurmu? You don't have to pick it up. It's designated me'elof. There's no need. So the Gemara said, we simply don't accept that sheet. It's a mitzvah to give it to the Kohanim. If you keep it, then you mevatel mitzvah and you're Evan Sigzel, because it belongs to the Shevet Kuna. But there is no requirement for hafrasha. There's no hafrasha here.
He means Zroya Mufayam. Zroya, I have to give him the whole Zroya, or I can take off the meat and give him the meat.
Yeah, he's not going to eat the bone, unless he's going to eat the bone with the marrow inside. Okay, then you can give him that too. But you're supposed to give him the pot. That's a value. You don't have to give him the junk. If you make it easy, adarab, the kohen will be happy if you give him only the flesh and take out the bones. Like this, he's going to have to scrape off the flesh and the bones before he cooks it. You did him the job. You removed the bones from the flesh. So he'll probably appreciate it. He'll thank you for separating it. Yeah, how do you have to eat? Yeah, who has to eat? Okay. You have to give it to the kohen. Then if the kohen wants, he can give it to a non-kohen to eat. It's not like truma. That truma has kedusha. So whoever is not a kohen, azar she'ochal truma is misa b'dei shamayim. You're not allowed to give the truma to a non-kohen. But zera l'chayam v'akeva is mamon hashevet. Belongs to the kohanim. And but once they get it, they have a right to give it to a Yisrael also to eat. They can give it to a nochri to eat. But nonetheless, even though it doesn't have kedusha, Omer Rav Chisda says another din matas kuna the zera l'chayam v'akeva ein acholas ela tzolid ein acholas ela becharedu. You have to eat it in a very bekovedigger fashion. You have to eat it broiled. Shouldn't make chopped meat, meatballs out of it. You eat it in a bekovedigger fashion. Keder sham lachem oichlim. Then the chalas ala b'chardel. That's considered a fancy way of eating it. You have the mustard sauce on the side and you dip it into the mustard. My time, where do you get this from? Truma, I could understand like that, because truma has kedusha. So when you eat it, the kohen says a bracha, shegirishana b'kedushas shashalar misivano alachilas truma, whatever. Truma can't be flesh. Truma is going to be fruits or vegetables or grain. You can have bread or cake or cookies, can be truma. So you say, Moshe Lech Maron, then you say, shegirishana b'kedushas shashalar misivano alachilas ha-truma. So it's a mitzvah to eat it. Zvalachayav akeva, you can feed it to the goy also. It's mamana kohanim. But it doesn't have any kedusha and it doesn't have intrinsic kedusha. So it's a chiddush that when the Kohanim eat it, they have to eat it tzli and b'chardel. That's a big chiddush. In fact, the Gemara, my time doesn't mean what's the logic. I mean, the Gemara always says my time and they quote a pasuk. What's the reason? The answer is because it says so in the Torah. What's the reason for the din? Because it says in the Chumash, Amakra, Ani nesatet lechem lemoshcha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm giving all the matnas kuna lemoshcha, which has the meaning of ligadula. And a bekovedik fashion, keder sham lochem oichlim. The way kings would eat a bekovedik fancy meal, the kings wouldn't eat the meatballs or hot dogs or something like that. The kings will eat steaks. The kings will dip the steaks into mustard. So the Gemara even applies it not only to the truma, even to the zran al chayim v'akeva. That is a big chiddush. There was a minhag from the days of the Bali HaTosfos, somehow it was forgotten because it's not quoted in Shulchan Aruch. So now it became a little more popular, as people put out svarim. When you do the pidyon haben, so it looks very secular. You give the coin a couple of dollars. Give them a whole bunch of coins, 100 grams of pure silver. Give them the silver coins. So it doesn't look like a mitzvah. So the Balei HaTosfos had a minhag that the Avi HaBen should stand and the Kohen should be sitting on a chair like a king sits on a throne. So the Avi HaBen approaches the Kohen and he says, I'd like to do Pinyin HaBen, and in a respectful fashion he gives the money to the Kohen. So the Mordechai quotes from the Balei HaTosfos, this was their practice, because L'moshcha L'gedula K'derech HaMelochim not only applies to eating the truma, in eating the Zerah L'chayim HaKeva, in eating the chatas and the yosham, it applies to the way you give the matnas kuna. You should give it to the kohen as if the kohen were a melech, so he should sit on a chair, on a throne, and the Avi HaBen should stand. So that's becoming more in style now. They have restored this minig, old minig from the Balei HaTosfos, because now this style in our generations, they put out a whole book how to answer Amen. Put out a whole book how to say Sheva Baruch, a whole book on every sneeze. How to say Yishalom is honey guy. Everybody puts out, they collect what everybody in the world said about it. So they put out books how to do Pidyon HaBen. And Shulchan Aruch, it's only one simon. And Shinhei, and here and there, one, it's a long simon. But now they put out complete Svarim, and they have a whole Likut of everything that was ever said. So in the Likutim, so they quote this from the Balei HaTosfos, it had such a many. Then the Gemara has a startling din, which we don't pass tonight. The Om Rab Chizdi, he had a lot to say about Zerah L'chayim HaKedah. So he said, makes another statement, but this is not accepted. Esmer Yaboah Matnas Kuna, the 24 Matnas Kuna, Pidyon HaBen is one, Zerah L'chayim HaKeva is one, Reisha Sages, Chata, Sosham, all the different Matnas Kuna, Kol Kain Sheni Boki Bohem, Hei Nesem Loi Matona. You only give it to the Kohen if he knows how to rattle off all the 24 Matnas Kuna. We can't rattle off, we don't know what they are. The Rishonim have a Machlekes, there are more than 24. So they say, obviously, the Tanaim were combining some together. So it's a whole, that's a root of a whole machlekes, which matzis kuna did they combine together? There's challah, there's bikurim, there's truma, there's maisa, mana maisa. So which ones did they combine together, which ones not? That's how it came out that there was a machlekes between the goyim and the rishonim, but the maisa behema is from the matzis kuna. The chumash at the end of chumash vayikra, at the end of the chukoyse, it says, v'cham maisa bakavatzon, that if I have a farm and I had many sheep were born in the course of the year is from Echad B'Tishrei, one Tana holds Echad Be'el to Echad Be'el, and we pass on Echad B'Tishrei to Echad B'Tishrei. So if 10 behemoths were born in my flock in the course of the year, so I put them all together in one corral and I have them go through a narrow exit, And you count from 1 to 10, and whichever one is the lucky one, number 10, that's the Maisa Bema. So what do you do with it? You makriv it as a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. Who eats it? So that never says. Never says who eats it. So Rashi writes on Chumash, and Rashi writes on Mishnayos and Gemara in a few places. It never says, so it's self-understood. The farmer eats it. The farmer, the owner of the farm who had the 12 sheep born in his flock, he brings it as a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. He eats it. Why should he give it away to someone else? And this Rashi is clearly in disagreement with the Goyim. He knew that they were Goyim held that. So they hold no, that that's one of the 24 Matas Kuhuna. Because they were combining different, there were more than 24. So they combined a whole bunch. So once he combines, you only have 23. So what's number 24? So they said, oh, Maisa Behema is number 24. And the other Rishonim said, no, you don't combine so much together. Maisa Behema is not one of the Choftalad Matas Kuhuna. Maisa Behema, the farmer himself, keeps it. That's the Pashtus is like Rashi. Maisa Behema is not from the Matan school.
The
Gemara here lists some of them, but not all of them. The Gemara says there are 24, and the Gemara has partial lists. The Gemara says some are Mischalkim, some you have the Tovus HaAnot to give to whichever coin you would like to give it to. And some of them is mischal, you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Anshei Mishmar divide it depending what week you bring it and what day of the week. The Kohanim are divided into 24 Mishmaris, and every Mishmar is divided into 6 Batayavas, Sunday 1 Beis Av, Monday, Tuesday through Friday. So with that, whatever day, you, let's say Gezel Ager, I stole $100,000 from someone, and I swear falsely that I don't owe him the money. And then I admit that I swore falsely, so I have to give him back the money. And then he dies. So the Torah says you give it to the Yorshim. God says he dies, he has no Yorshim. Agershin is got cut in Shanola Damas. He's not related to anybody. He didn't have a chance to get married to have children yet after he converted. So that's called Gezel Ager. So Gershin Meis, ain't no Yorshim. So what do you do with the you want to bring Asham Gzelus for swearing falsely that you don't owe him the money, but you can't begin to bring the Hashem Zeilus before you pay up the keren. You have to pay it. If the fellow died, then he has the Yoshim, who are you going to pay to? So it says you pay Gezel Ager, like Kohanim. Which Kohanim? So that the Gemara says in Bava Kamma, whatever week you bring it, whatever day of the week, you came on a Tuesday, this week of Parshas Korach, so it belongs to this Mishmar of the Kohuna. Every week there's a different, there are 24 Mishmaris. And depending what day you bring the money to the Beis HaMikdash, the money will be divided among all Anshei Mishmar, among all the Kohanim who happen to be in the Beis HaMikdash that day. Then when you bring your Hasham Gizelos, there are 6 Hashamas, that's Hasham Gizelos. When you stole money and swore falsely, and then you admit that you swore falsely, you cheated the other guy by swearing falsely, so you have to bring Hasham Gizelos. So the Hashem is Nechal by the Zichri Kuna. Which Zichri Kuna? The Zichri Kuna of that day. If you bring it on Tuesday of Parshas Korach, so this Beis Av is in charge. You bring it tomorrow on Wednesday of Parshas Korach, there's going to be a different Beis Av, whichever day you bring it. So the Gemara says some Matas Kuna are divided amongst the Anshei Mishmar of the Beis HaMikdash of that day, and some you have the Tovus HaAnot to pick, and others you just leave it in front of your house and Kol HaKodim Zocher, the Kohanim come and they take. And some are Machlekes HaTanoim. I think Bikurim is a Machlekes HaTanoim. Whether when you bring Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, do you have the Tovus HaAnot to give it to whichever kohen you want, like Truma, you have the Tovus HaAnot, or no? Since you have to bring the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, so it's one of the Matonis that goes to the Anshei Mishmar. So the Anshei Mishmar divided amongst themselves. Whatever day you brought the Bikurim, so whoever, wherever Beis Av was functioning that week, and their Mishmar, so they get it. Yeah. So the Gemara never really gives a full list of all the 24. So Rav Chisda makes a wild statement. He says, if the Kohanim are not sufficiently learned that they can rattle off which are the 24 Matnas Kuna, then you don't give them anything. So the Gemara says, V'lav Milsehi, we absolutely do not paskan like Rav Chisda. You're supposed to give Matnas Kuna to a Kohen who's learned. That's a pidyon ben money, all the Matnas Kuna. That's other Gemaras. You should give it to those based on the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, those who are machzikim b'Torah Hashem, those who are more learned. You should give it, but there is not. He doesn't have to know how to rattle off all the 24 matnas kuna. So Gemara says la milsehi. Why the Tanya? We're going to have a long brisa. It says it's a tosefta in Demai. It's going to be a long brisa, and we're going to prove from one line in the brisa then Rav Chisda is wrong. So the Brisa says, the Tanya Rav Shimon Amer, Shimon Vaychoi says, Kol Kohen Shein Moida Ba'avoida, if the Kohen is a Shtikal Apikiris, Rashi, how does Rashi say? Where's the Rashi? The fourth wide line in Rashi. Ein Moida Ba'avoida, Shama Beliba, he says, in Ahad Divre Hevelheim, the whole institution of Karbonis is a big joke. But let's see if I'm welcome the Hakra of Lokabon. Baruch Shalom Nebet told us this mitzvah. Moshe Rabbeinu bought the Milut. Moshe Rabbeinu invented it on his own. Mamash and Apikaris. He doesn't believe in the whole Chumash Vayikra, that it's a term in Hashemayim. So Rashi interprets in Rab Shimon, if a kohen is in a moida ba'aveda, he doesn't believe that the mitzvahs of Hakrovas HaKarbonis is min Hashemayim, and l'chelik b'kuhuna. So you're not allowed to give him matnas kuhuna. How do you know? You have a pasuk. Shenema hamakrev is damashlamim vesachel b'nei ha'am. Lo siyer shakayomin limona. It says hamakrev, one who believes in the institution of hakrovas hakarbonis, he believes it's termin hashamayim, not moshe b'adam elibo. So then lo tehiya shok hayomin limona. Then you're allowed to give him the shok. Chaz v'shok is when you shech the shlamim. So you give chaz v'shok. When you shech the behemas chulin, you don't give chaz v'shoik, you give zrol chayayim v'hakeva. It's different. The Gemara has that at the end of the parak also. The shok is also only on the right leg. Doesn't apply to the left leg. But I think it's the back leg as opposed to the zraya, is the front leg, and the shok is the back leg. But they're both only and then the same thing, the zraya b'sheila. We learned the Gemara when a nazir brings shalmei nazir, when the naziris is over, he brings a shlamim. So the shalmei nazir, you have to take out the zroa from the shalmei nazir, not zroa l'chayam v'hakeva. Zroa l'chayam v'hakeva is only on behem haschulin. If you shech korban, it's no din zroa l'chayam v'hakeva. But the zroa alone, you take out. And you have to cook it in the same pot with the rest of the shalmei nazir, and the zraya can only be eaten by the kohen. That's the zraya b'sheila of the shalmei nazir can only be eaten by the kohen, even though it's cooked together with the rest of the shlamin. The rest of the shlamin may be eaten by the non kohanim. So the Gemara said because you have shishim against it. We had the sugya of zraya b'sheila in Perek Giranosh. So the Gemara said the din of zraya. The zraya is the front leg, and the shok is the back leg. But all of these, Zroa l'chayam v'hakeva is only the right Zroa and the front leg, and the Zroa b'sheila of the El Nazir of the Shalmei Nazir is only the front right leg, and the Shok HaYomin is the back right leg. Everything is the right leg as opposed to the left leg. That's the Mishnah and the Gemara at the end of the pair. So the Gemara learns out from the Pasuk, HaMakrev is Damashlamim here on the bottom of Kuf Lamed Beis Amin Beis. The kohen who believes in hakrabas karbonis, that it's min hashamayim, lo tehiya shok hayam l'mona, you're allowed to give him. Maybe ein li ela zeh b'lvad. Maybe this requirement only applies by giving the shok hayamin when you give the chaz of a shok of a shlamim to the kohanim. Ein li ela zeh b'lvad. How do you know min ein l'rabbis? How do you know that he has to believe in all of the 15 avodas? He has to believe in Hamakriv as Damashlam. He has to believe in Zrikas Hadam, then it's Min Hashemayim. What if he believes in Zrikas Hadam, then it's Min Hashemayim, but he doesn't believe in Haktoras HaMincha, that's Min Hashemayim. He doesn't believe that, what else? Kmitza, Haktora, Malika, all the other things. So the Brisa lists off. Minay l'Rabbis Chamesh Esri Avodas, an additional 15 acts of hakrovas hakabonis kigon hayitzikas. Yitzikas is if you have a korban mincha, so you have flour, then you pour in oil, shemen zayis. So that's called yitzika. Belila is when you stir it. You have to do yitzika. The belila, the Mishnah says, loy bala les kosher. If you didn't do the belila les kosher, if you didn't pour in the oil, you're not yitzika. You have to have shemen. But if you poured in, you did the tzikah, you didn't do the belila, so you have it like bala les kosher. Psisa is if you baked the mincha already, and then you didn't do the kmitza yet, so you have to posos also pitim, you have to break up the mincha into tiny pieces, and then you do the kmitza in the yetzba, in the right yamin. Hamalicha, the din is that kohanim have to salt the karbonis. The kohanim have to salt the karbonis. Strictly speaking, you don't really need kohanim to salt the karbonis. The Israelim can also do it, but the Israelim don't come so close to the mizbeach. The Israelim there's a din midrabban. Israel can only walk in the first, can only enter the first 11 amos in the Azara. Yud Aleph Amos, the first 11 amos. You go from Ezra's Noshim, there are 15 steps going into the Azara, Ezra's Israel. And then the first 11 amos is Mokum Hilach Raglei Israel. And after that is Mokum Hilach Raglei Kohanim. So the Israelim can't even walk anywhere near the Mizbeach. So they're not, well, going to salt the flesh over here and then walk 25 amos to put it on the Mizbeach. You salt the flesh when it's near the Mizbeach or on the Mizbeach. So the Malicha was always done by Kohanim who were near there. Tenufa, you have to do Tenufa on a Korban Mincha, you have to do Tenufa sometimes on Chaz V'Shoik. Hagosha, when you have the Minchas in a Klishores, you're looking straight ahead, so straight ahead the Kodesh HaGadoshim is Mayrav. And you have to take the mincha in a kli and touch the kli to this corner of the mizbeach. That's marovis de romis. When we learned Saita, we learned the beginning of the second pack. You have to do hagosha. You have to have the kli touch the corner of the mizbeach, the keren mizbeach. So these are all things that have to be done by kohanim kemitza when the kohen puts his hand in and he takes a little apart. Haktara when you burn it on mizbeach, malika when you do shchita, and chatzosayp and odlosof he has to do with his fingernail. Kabbalah Saddam, Hazor, when you do is Rika Saddam by an oif, it's called Hazor. You spritz it. Instead of pouring it from a kli, you spritz it from the neck of the bird. Ashkos HaSoita, that's not karbonis, but it has to be done by Kohanim. When a Soita comes to the Beis HaMikdash and she drinks the Maim Amorim, Arifa Seglo Arufa. Eglo Arufa is if you find a Jew murdered in Eretz Yisrael, you have to, measure to the cities in the vicinity. And the city which is the closest, the Bezdin in the city has to bring an Egla Rufa. But who does? And they say, Kapal Amcha Shor Shepadis Hashem. So the Kohanim have to say, Kapal Amcha Shor Shepadis Hashem. The Gemara says, the Rifa was also done by the Kohanim. And Taras HaMetzora, and Duchening, the Siyas Kapayim, is Duchening, Beim, Ibn Fnim, Beim, Ibachutz. Whether you Duchen in the Beis HaMikdash, or you Duchen outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Every day they Duchen in the Beis HaMikdash at the conclusion of Hakrovas Korbanas Tzibur. But we do also, we duchen also. Strictly speaking, we have to duchen every day at the conclusion of Tefillah B'Tzibur. So the Gemara learns out from the Psukim that a Kohen who doesn't believe that all of these are Min HaShemayim, that's how Rashi learns. Kol Kohen Shein Amayda Bavari doesn't believe that all the 15 Avodas were told to Moshe Rabbeinu by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're not allowed to give him a Matnas Kohuna. The Ritva picks on Rashi. He says, what do you mean? The fellow is an apikoris, he doesn't believe that the mitzvah, the tariag mitzvahs are min hashamayim. So apikoris is, he tainas maridim v'loy malim. He's supposed to encourage him to go down on a bar, you have to do gram retzich on him, you have to bump him off. So what are you talking about? What's the possibility of giving him matas kuna? You have to get rid of him. So the Ritva says, he doesn't think that Rashi's pshat is correct. When Rab Shimon says Kohen Shein Amoyda Ba'avayda, it doesn't mean he doesn't believe that it's Min HaShemayim. He believes it's Min HaShemayim. Ein Amoyda Ba'avayda means he's not so careful. He's a little sloppy in the way he observes the mitzvah's kahuna. So then you're not allowed to give him Matnas kahuna if he's not careful. What was exactly the taina of the Ritva against Rashi? What was the taina? If he's an apikoris, the way Rashi says he doesn't believe in all that 613 mitzvahs are Min HaShemayim, thinks Moshe bada milibo some of the mitzvahs, so that's an apikoris. So he's an apikoris. So what? Why is that so obvious? Because he's supposed to makam yanchen shalom men aden. He's supposed to cause gram retzicha to him. He's supposed to be moridim v'amalim. He's supposed to lower him down into a burn, let him die from starvation. We didn't do it. So yeah, we like bisman adam. We don't do it. Chazan Ish says bisman adam. We don't do it. It won't be understood. We won't accomplish anything. We only do it the Migda Milsa. So what's exactly the Ritva's Kasha against Rashi? What's so shvesta? I think the Ritva's Kasha was like this. You can't be a Kohen unless you're first a human being, and then you have to be Jewish, and then you have to be from Shevet Levi, and then you can discuss, is he a Kohen on top of all that? So if the fellow is an Apikuris, we have a Klal Apikuris, Dina Ka'akum. Sometimes Apikuris, let's say the Apikuris Shech Tzibayinah. He doesn't believe that Torah is Min HaShemayim. So we will declare that the Shechita is Nevela. It's not a good Shechita. Apikoros is Dina Ka'akum. Just like Anochri Shushachat, the Shechitos and Nevela, so Apikoros Shushachat, the Shechitos and Nevela. So that's the divorce Taina against Rashi. How can Rashi say that the fellow is a Kohen Shein Amoyda Ba'avayda? He doesn't believe that it's Moshe bought the milib, but Moshe invented the mitzvahs on his own. So if he's an apikaris, Dina Kakmi doesn't have a full din Yisrael. So he can't have a din of a kohen. He can't have a din of a kohen if he's not a full din Yisrael. That was his taina. I don't think his taina was what he says literally. It should be Maridim Veloy Mailin. He's not going to live so long. Why not going to live so long? He didn't have a chance to do the Maridim Veloy Mailin. Or there are too many kohanim who are apikorsim. So he won't accomplish anything by Maridim Veloy Mailin. In the Baisheni period, they had a lot of kohanim who were running the show, who were apikorsim. They didn't believe in Tarmin HaShemayim. They didn't do Maridim Veloy Mailin. You only do it L'Harah Shoh L'Migda Milsa. If you feel you're going to accomplish a lot by that. So I thought that was his kasha. I thought that was the kasha. Since apikoros dina ka'akam, so you can't have a din kayin. You have to first be a Yisrael. That's famous. The Maral Miprag supposedly made a golem. That's the legend has it like that. So it's probably not correct. Professor Schneer, I may explain that. It's a big mistake. The whole thing is a big mistake. But the Chacham Tzvi had a grandfather who supposedly made a golem. Maybe that's also a fable, but the Chacham Tzvi thought that it was a true story. He had a grandfather who was known as the Baal Shem from Chelem. There was the famous Baal Shem Tov, Rabbi Saul Baal Shem Tov, the founder of the Hasidus. There were other tzaddikim throughout the generations who were known as Baal Shem. So his grandfather was the Baal Shem. There was Baal Shem from Michelstadt. They have Svarim by him. And there was, we visited his grave, Baal Shem from Michelstadt. That was the Baal Shem from Chelem. So the story goes that he made a golem, and then the golem was getting too strong and too wild, so then he decided to kill him. So the Chacham Tzvi has a sofek in his truvis, can you be mitzarif the golem to a minion? You have to be Jewish to be mitzarif to a minion. So he's mesupik, because the Gemara has a memory in Sanhedrin, kol hamagadol yasim etoch besa, malala kasu kili yalodo. If I'm married to a Jewish girl, so if we would have children, the children would be Jewish. So if I'm megadol yasim etoch besi, so the yasim should become Jewish. Kili yalodo. Why? Let's say I adopt a non-Jewish child and I raise him. So the non-Jewish child becomes Jewish because I raised him. There is no such thing. But that's a wild Chacham Tzvi. So he says, "Hamagadol yasim etoch besim, avala kasu kili yilod." This considered as if he gave birth. So if his grandfather, the Baal Shem from Chelem, made a golem, so that's like megadol yasim etoch besim. He created this golem, not yesh miayin. He mixed together chemicals, DNA from based on Sefer Yetzirah, and he made a golem. So he says, maybe since Malala Kasekili Yelada, maybe the golem is Jewish, maybe it can be Mitzarifim to a minion. So the Behetev quotes this suffix from the Tshuvas Chacham Tzvi in Siman Nun Hei, in Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim, when they say, if in order to say Kaddish Kedusha Baruch, you need a minion of Asari Yisraelim Gedolim, B'nei Bris, so the Behetev quotes this suffix from the Chacham Tzvi's Tshuvas, can you be Mitzarif a golem to a minion if the golem was brought into existence by a Jewish person? So the Chazon Ish says, that's ridiculous. You can kill a golem. The grandfather of the Chacham Tzvi who made the golem, the story goes that he killed him. His golem was getting too wild, and he killed him. You knew you're allowed to kill a human being, and I'm allowed to kill a Nachri. So obviously a golem is not even a human being at all. It's like a behemoth. There's no avera to kill a behemoth if it's wild. There's no lasir tzacham behemoth. So he says, if the golem is not a human being at all, how can he be Jewish? In order to be Jewish, first you have to be a human being. And then you can discuss whether he's Jewish. And then he has to be from Shevet Levi. And then you can discuss, on top of all of that, if he's a human being and he's Jewish and he's from Shevet Levi, maybe he's even a kohen. But if he's not a human being, how can he be a kohen? So that's probably the taina of the Ritvo against Rashi. How can Rashi say kohen she'ena moedah ba'aver means an apikoros? He says on the mitzvahs of Karbonis, it's a divrei hevel. And Moshe bought the libo. That's an apikoros. Apikoros dina ka'akum. So of course he doesn't have a full din koin. If he doesn't have a full din Yisrael, he doesn't have a din koin. So the Gemara says the only thing that the Tosefta, this was a Tosefta in Dvan. The only thing that the Tosefta says is, so the Gemara is medayik. Taima dina moidabo. The reason why you're not allowed to give him matnas kuna because he doesn't believe at all. Rashi learns he doesn't believe that it's min hashamayim. Moshe bada miliban. There is divorce. Says ain amayda ba. He's not so medactic in the mitzvahs of kuna. Amayda ba. But if he does believe that all the hakarbanos are min hashamayim, and he is medactic, but he's not so learned. Af al gav the ain abaki behem. He can't rattle off all the 24 matas kuna. So you see, Rav Chisda is wrong. The Bryce only says. But this it doesn't say it has to be Bokebehem. That's expecting too much.
I understand. That you won't give him truma, you won't know how to take care of it.
Okay, that's another din. You're not allowed to give truma to a person if you're afraid he's going to eat it for truma. You're not allowed to give it to an amar. That is correct. That's when we started the Masechta quite a while ago, So the Gemara had that on Daf Hey. Apikoros Dinekak, Apikoros Shoshachet. So the Chidor wrote many Svarim. Chidor wrote, I think, over 80 Svarim. So one of the Svarim that he wrote is a commentary on the Ein Yankif. So in his commentary on the Ein Yankif, on Daf Hey in Chulin, he quotes a machlokes from the Baal Yataisus from Kisvei Yad. I don't know if they were printed yet. We don't have it. I didn't hear about it yet. The Chido was a mishulah for the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. He used to travel around Europe and collect money and send the money to Eretz Yisrael. Whoever was going to Eretz Yisrael would send the money to the Yidden who lived in Eretz Yisrael. So wherever he would go, if there would be, the government used to have libraries. All the governments used to, the intelligent governments, intellectual governments used to have libraries, so he would always go to the Jewish libraries that they had to see what Kisvei Yad they had. Whenever he came across some fascinating chiddush, he would write it down. And then he would quote it in his svarim. He has a lot. He quoted all the Meiris that were printed during my lifetime. Before I was born, they hardly had any Meiris. They had the Meiri on the Dorim Nozer Soita, they had maybe on Brachas, they had a few Meiris, not too many. And now they have all the Meiris on all of Shas. So the Chidor saw all of these Meiris in the libraries, and he read through them. He was the fast reader. And whenever he saw something that was a Dvar Chiddush, he would copy it down. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes a lot of Meiris before they were printed, because he quoted them from the Chidor. So that's so the Chidor quotes this from Kisvei Yad. The Chidor on the Ein Yankif, on Daf Hey, quotes the Baal Yataisus, had a machlokes, but the Apikoros Dina Kakam is a Din Daraisa. He doesn't have the correct amunah, so he's lacking in Kedushas Yisrael, or is it only a penalty mid the Rabbanim? It's a knas mid the Rabbanim. It should chap a major nafkemina. What if a person is an apikoros b'shoigeg? What if the apikoros, he was brought up by anti-religious parents, they never gave him a Torah education. He doesn't believe that Torah is min hashamayim, but it's not his fault. That's the way he was educated by the parents. If apikoros dinakakam is a penalty mid the Rabbanim, so he doesn't deserve to be penalized. It's not his fault. But if you hold up the girl's dinikakam is a real dindar, I say he has an incomplete kedushas Yisrael because he's lacking the ikari hu amuna. So it doesn't matter whether b'shoigeg or b'mezid. So that's a b'feirush machlokes sarishanim. What's a din in achrayim? What's a din about pikoris b'shoigeg whether dinikakam or not? That's the kasha in the beginning of the Masechta. The opening Mishnah says kusi shishochat. It used to be kusim from the days of the Tanakh, from the days of Sefer Melachim, a group of goyim from the city Kusa which transported to Eretz Yisrael. And then the psukim say in Sefer Melachim they were being attacked by lions, and they came up with this cockeyed idea that the God of Eretz Yisrael is the God of the Jewish people, and he wants them to convert. So they converted, but they continued to worship Avodah Zarah. There was absolutely no Kabbalah on mitzvahs. They continued to worship Avodah Zarah. There was zero Kabbalah on mitzvah. Nothing changed in their lives. Just they officially converted to become Jewish. So that conversion was meaningless. But these kusim were still there. The kusim were still there for many generations through the days of the Tanaim. They had kusim. So in the days of the Tanaim, they were observing Torah Shebichsav. They weren't fully observing Torah Shebaal Peh. So that was the big machlokes for the kusim. Did they undergo a second conversion, where there was a kabbalah on mitzvahs, or was it all the first conversion? So what's the difference? Whether the kusi sheshachat is it a good shechitana? So the Chazon Ish has the kasha, but the kusim didn't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh min hashamayim. that the Torah Shabbat was invented by the rabbis. And the Shulchan Aruch says that one who doesn't believe that Torah Shabbat Peh is Ben HaShemayim is Apikoyres, not only if he say Torah is not Ben HaShemayim, but even if he believes Torah is Ben HaShemayim, Torah Shabbat Peh, but you don't believe Torah Shabbat Peh is Ben HaShemayim, so it says such a person is an Apikoyres, and if he handles wine, the wine becomes treif, like Maga Akum. Dinaka Akum, so Maga Akum Asas. So the Chazanish and Simon Beis and Yeridah has this famous kasha. How can the Mishnah say Hakusi Shushachat if others are watching and you know that he did the shechita properly? Ochlim mishchita, so how can you eat it? But Hakusi doesn't believe it. Torah Shabbat Pem and Hashemayim, so it should be apikores dina kakum. So it should be shechita and avela. So the Chazanish gives two different answers. One answer he has on top of the page. One answer he has in the footnote on the bottom of the page. So one answer he says is that it was b'shoigeg, their parents educated them in such a way, their parents brainwashed them that there's no such thing as Torah Shabbat Pein HaShemayim. So since it's b'shoigeg, so you don't say apikores dina kakum. Then on the bottom of the page he gives a different answer, because it's not so simple that that's correct. If apikores dina kakum is a knas mederabanan, then it doesn't make sense that you have no right to penalize him if it's b'shoigeg. But if apikores dina kakum is a din deraisa, so then even if it's b'sheike, it's not a penalty, it's not a knas, it's a real din. Whoever doesn't have emunah is an apikores, din ka'akum. So he gives another answer with some chudishdik answer. When they say one who doesn't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh min HaShemayim is an apikores, he doesn't believe it's min HaShemayim, and still he observes everything that it says in the Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch. But if he's consistent and he observes what he thinks is min HaShemayim, whatever he thinks is invented by the rabbis and is not binding, he doesn't observe, then he's not an apikores. Then he's a mistaken person. He's a confused person. He's mistaken, but at least he understands what the religion is all about. We believe the religion is min HaShemayim. It's not a man-made religion. If you believe, there are those professors who think that the Amoraim misunderstood the Tanaim had a mistake in the Masorah, and the Achrayim misunderstood the Rishonim, and the Rishonim had the wrong gear. So everything in Shulchan Aruch is all based on a mistake, but still everything is binding. The Halacha is binding, even though it's an error. So that's what the Chazanish says. One who believes in that, Halacha is binding, even though it's clearly all an error, that's an Apikoros, Dina Ka'akum, he asks Yayin. But if a person thinks that this is a mistake, I'm not going to follow, this is a mistake. A professor, he's convinced, the rabbi's made a mistake here, whatever's a mistake he's not going to observe, whatever's not a mistake he will observe. So then he's consistent. So then, even though he's not going to observe any Torah Shabbat Peh, because he believes that Torah Shabbat Peh is not min HaShemayim, but he's a consistent person, so then he's not called an apikores dina ka'akum. He's only apikores dina ka'akum if he has a whole misunderstanding of what religion is. He thinks that the laws of the religion are binding, even everything is based on an error. So that's not a religion. Religion has to be that it's min HaShemayim. Yeah, so that's a big machlokes. The Chido quotes the two opinions from the Baalei HaTosfos, from Kisvei Yad, whether apikores dina ka'akum is a din deraisa or din derabanan. And v'chapa nafke mina, if he's an apikores b'shoigeg. So you said, you're right, you can't give truma to a kohen unless you know he's going to be careful not to eat it betuma. So, correct. So the Gemara has such a din also. Let's see, I'm going to give zero l'chayim hakeva to the kohen. I know he's going to eat it without, he's going to be full of dam. He's going to eat it without salting it to remove the dam. So it's lifnei iver, so you're not allowed to give it to him. So the Gemara has over here. Amar Abba, Amar Avun, Amar Rav, they quote in the name of Rav, Chutim Shebelechi, a lot of blood vessels, arteries, big arteries, when you salt the flesh, so you succeed in getting out the dam from the capillaries, from the tiny blood vessels. But from the big fat arteries, the big arteries are the what do you call the other ones?
The veins.
The big veins are the big arteries. You can't get those, you can't get the dam out. You have to pull out the whole artery, the whole vein. From the capillaries there, if you salt it, you get it out. So he says, chutim shebelechi, the chutim dam, the veins of dam, in the lechi, in the bottom of the cheek, asurim, has dam, the chol koin, she'en yedeh litlon, if the koin doesn't know how to remove it, you're not allowed to give him matanis. You can't give it to him because it'll be lifnei. He's going to eat it like giving truma to a koin, and he doesn't know to be careful not to be metame, so he can't do that. So the Gemara says, "Velohi, it's not correct what Rab just said. Why? It's impossible. Well, what do you mean? What is he going to do? Eat the tavya if he's going to broil it. Made of daibis. When you broil flesh, so the blood is going to drip down. All the blood is going to drip down. So there's no problem. You're not going to be cooking it in its blood. The big artery has blood. The artery is cut at some point or another. So if you're going to broil it, the flesh, the fire will draw out all of the blood and it'll go out. It'll be emptied. The ilik deira. And if he's going to cook it in a pot, he's not going to broil it. Then you have to salt it. So eat the mechatech lehu malach lehu. And if he's going to cut it up, and then he's going to salt it, you can't salt the whole thing altogether. You have to cut it up. If you cut it up, and you salt it, made the daivi, the blood will roll out. So the Gemara says they don't see that that's a problem. They don't see that that's a problem. So the Gemara tells this story. Omar Rove, what's the other girsa? Omar Rabba. Bodik Lon Rav Yosef. Rabbi and Rav Yosef were in the same generation. Rav Yosef was the Baki and Rabbi was the Chorif. That's the Gemara in the end of Horius. So Rav Yosef used to fahir when they were younger. Rav Yosef was the Baki, so he was fahiring Rabbi. He asked him, "Hai Kahana the Chotif Matanta, if a Kohen grabs Matnas Kavuna, the Shechet Shechet Sebeim, and the Kohen goes and he grabs it. Is this an indication mitzvah? Does it show that he cherishes the mitzvah so much that he's running to do the mitzvah? Like a person wakes up early on Sukkot morning and he runs to shake the lulav and the esrog first thing in the morning when he wakes up in the Sukkot. He wakes up, he washes negolas, he rushes right away in order to bench esrog in the morning. So the client should go run to the shochet and say, give me the zralach hayayim hakeva, chibu v'ko b'chaba mitzvah, or zazul v'gam b'chazul b'mitzvahs. Maybe it's a zilzul of the mitzvah, as if you're only running out to get for yourself. So he asked Rabbi, they must have been young at the time. So he asked him, what do you say? Upshitna lei, and I was poshit to Rabbi Yosef based on a pasuk. The pasuk says, l'chumish, v'nasam ha-koinis ha-zral v'alach hayayim hakeva, the shoychet should give it. You shouldn't grab on your own. So that's not Derech Eretz. That's not chibuv ha-mitzvah. That's called zilzal ha-mitzvah. So Abaye was a nephew of Rabbah. So they were both Kohanim. Rav is a question over here. It's a shayla, two girsis in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, whether Rav was also a Kohen or not. And our Gemara, Rashi and Taisa assume Rav was not a Kohen. But Rabbah and Abaye were Kohanim. Rabbi was the uncle of Abaye, and Abaye was an orphan, so Rabbi raised him. So Omar Abaye, so Abaye says, Meresh, originally my practice used to be Havichatifna Matanta. I used to grab the Matan's kuna. Whenever I would see a Shoichet Shechtebeim, I would run to grab it. Why? Because Amina, I said to myself, Chibul become a Chabiv, na mitzvah, I'm demonstrating Chabiv, it's a mitzvah, kiv the Shmain Allah. Once I heard this, Rosha, Venosan, Veloshit on Meatzmo, I stopped grabbing. It's not Derech Eretz. But he used to say, hopefully, I'd like to, please do me a favor, please give me the Zorach Hayam. He thought that that's Chavivus HaMitzvah. But then, keeping the Shmain Eloha D'Tanya, then he heard that there's a Braisa. He got older, and he heard a Braisa. That's not the Kovetik either, that the Kohanim should ask to be Taveh B'Peh. So when he heard the Braisa that says, Vayata Achri Habotza, it's a pasuk in Sefer Shmuel Aleph with respect to the children of Shmuel Hanavi. So, Vayata Achri Habotza sounds like they took bribery. Sounds like they were Dayanim and Dinator and they would take bribery. So the Gemara, so the Braisa interprets Rav Meir Ramer, it doesn't mean that they took bribery for a Dintaira. What it means is that they used to request, could you please give us the Matnas Levim? B'nei Shmuel, Chelkam Shoala B'fihim. They used to ask the people, could you please give me Maaseh? They weren't Kohanim, they were Levim. So they would ask for the Maaseh Rishon. And the Pasuk says, V'yata Achare Botza. The Pasuk, very often the Pasuk in Tanakh will exaggerate the Averis of people as if they did the worst thing in the world. What they did, they didn't take any bribery for the Din Torah. What they used to do was, they were Shoala B'fihim. They would ask, could you please give us Maaseh Rishon? So the Tanakh exaggerates and says, they took bribery. That wasn't right. So Abaye says, once I heard that comment, So I stopped asking the shochtim, please give me the zorach hayamakev, it's not der cheretz. I don't ask them, please give me. However, v'yavili, but if they do give it to me, shakilna, I will take it. Why not? It's worth a lot of money. But then, a year or two later, kevin d'shmayna lohadetanya, then I heard another brisa that goes as follows. The context of the brisa is that we used to divide the lechem upon him. There used to be some... On Shabbos, he'd divide the lechem upon him. Every mishmar would serve in the Beis HaMikdash for a week, and the old mishmar would end on Shabbos morning, and the new mishmar would take over on Shabbos afternoon. And there were 12 lechem upon him, and they were divided, 6 for the mishmar hayotze and 6 for the mishmar hanichnas. So when they were divided up, there would be both mishmaris had to get. Both mishmaris got. So everybody got higiyani kipul. He got that tiny brekala of there were 12 lechem aponims, and every mishma got 6. But there was so many kind of, everybody got a mashahu of the challah, of the matzah. It's not chometz, it's not chometz dike chalas, it's pesach dike matzah. That's the all the menachas, you're not allowed to make chometz, it all has to be matzah. So the braisa says that they hardly got anything. One says Higiani Kipul, I got the size of a bebel, and one says Higiani Kizan of Halto, I got a tiny little bit. So in the Bais Rishon, a bracha was chal, and for many years in the Bais Sheni, a bracha was chal, and the little bit that they would eat would be Mizbarach B'Meyayim, and they would be full, they would be satisfied with that. Then later in the period of the Bais Sheni, the bracha was not chal. So what are you going to go stand in the Beis HaMikdash and divide the lechem upon him among 300 kahanim, and everybody's going to get a mashu? He's going to be starving. So what do you gain? So it says, Hatznuim, the B'nai Torah, the fine kohanim, the edel, the kohanim, Moshchem Esideim, they would walk away. When they would be dividing the lechem upon him, they would walk away. So the Tosfos Rishonim in Yuma has a famous comment that the Beis HaLevi has a whole essay on. Where does it say? Yuma Daf Lamites. He says, if they would have gotten a kazayis of lechem upon him, then it would be worth fighting about. A kazayis is a real mitzvah of achila. But they got, each one got higyanic kipul. He got the size of a bebala. He got a tiny little bit, less than a kazayis. So it's an incomplete kima mitzvah when you eat such a, even if it is mizbarach mea, it's going to be very incomplete. That's no moshe mesidayim. The edle kohanim just walked away when they were dividing lechem upon him. However, hagar geronim, but the tumulers and the screamers and the loud kohanim would be chokim. They would divide the lechem upon him, they would grin. So what Abai says, when I heard that, that's doing Moshe Mesideim, they quote this in Shulchan Aruch, let's say people are fighting, a few people have yard sight, so each one wants a daven for another, everyone's fighting, and it's going to be a whole sichsuch. So it says in the Magen Avraham quotes, that's doing Moshe Mesideim, even though you have yard sight, walk away, let the other people kill each other, let the other people fight it out. Don't get involved, say you won't daven for another, go to a different minyan. Say Kaddish, don't daven for another. It's not worth fighting over. So once he heard that it's not even their cheretz to not only not to ask for it, even if they're giving out the Zorach Hayam Akeva, so walk away. So Mishkanami lo shekilna, I'm never there when they're dividing Zorach Hayam Akeva. Once a year he goes. He says, L'babi mayli yamadi kipur, erev yam kippur, I go to the slaughterhouse when they're shechting behemoths. Why? Shorba said, Achzuka nafshay bikane, they shouldn't forget that I'm a kohen. They shouldn't forget that I'm a kohen. What is he gaining by them? They should know I'm have no card. They should know that if they have a pidyon haben, I'm available. Or that, don't forget, give me the first aliyah. So, I don't know what. He says, Freg di Gemara, if he wants everybody to know he's a kohen, why doesn't he just go duchen? In the days of the Gemara, he used to duchen every day. So why doesn't he duchen in the shul? Freg ma v'lifis yodei. And for the Gemara, Abai was so booked giving shiurim all day and all night, he never used to daven tefillah b'tzibur. So he was never able to duchen. He used to sneak in, ben gavra l'gavra, he used to daven in between the minyonim. There used to be a 5 o'clock minyan, then a 6 o'clock minyan, a 7 o'clock. Each group, the 5 o'clock minyan, had a shiur. After they finished davening, the 6 o'clock minyan came to the 5 o'clock shiur. So he gave a 5 o'clock shiur, 6 o'clock shiur, 7 o'clock shiur, 8 o'clock shiur, and he used to daven b'yechidus. He was never there. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yudam Nasi was also like that. He was giving shiur all morning long. So when did he say kriyashma? Before the Sozman kriyashma. The Gemara says he would stick it in between one shiur and the other. he wouldn't daven tefillah b'tzibur. The Gemara says Abaye also ansele idne. He was so involved in giving all the mishurim, he wasn't able ever to daven b'tzibur, so he never used to duch. That's how Rashi learns in the Gemara. On the margin, on the side, they quote from the Oruch. The Oruch is a dictionary that was before the days of Rashi and Tosfos. Rav Nosson Miromi wrote this. It's a dictionary of Talmudic terminologies. So he has a different girsa in the Gemara. Anse le idne, not idne, his manim of his sidorim kept him busy and he never davened tefillah b'tzibur. He says he was a sickly person. Abaye was a sickly person and he always had medical problems and he was never able to daven with a minyan. Okay? So once a year, in order that they shouldn't forget that he's a Kohen, so on Erev Yom Kippur, he would be there when they would be dividing, when they would be shechting behemoths, and they would be dividing the Zoron HaChayam HaKeva. He would ask that they should give, he would stand there that they should give him also. Then the Gemara has an interesting din. Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef comes up with a chiddush, and it's going to be a question whether we accept his chiddush or not. Hai kahana disle tzur ma'abonim b'shiva v'use. A Kohen has a Talmud Chacham in his neighborhood, a tchikale milsen. The Talmud Chacham is poor. He doesn't really make a living. So the din is the Kohen can take Zorah Chayim v'akeva, and then if he wants, it's not like truma, then it may not be eaten by a non-Kohen. The Kohen can take Zorah Chayim v'akeva, and he can give it to a non-Kohen to eat. Yeah, but they had no refrigeration, so till they're going to give it to the Kohen, until the Kohen is going to see the Tzurim and the Rabbanon, the Talmud Chacham who's Tchikale Milsa is an Anis, and they get ruined, so he's going to put up a sign like this. The Kohen, Rav Yosef says a Chiddush, the Kohen can hang up a sign, whoever wants to give me Zerah L'Chayayim V'Hakeva when they're Shechting Behemoth, I authorize Rabbi Schmerling, who's not a Kohen, he should take the Zerah L'Chayayim V'Hakeva on my behalf. So fine, so he'll take it, and the Shoichet, who gives the Zerah L'Chayayim V'Hakeva to Rabbi Schmerling, is Yotze the Mitzvah, even though the Kohen never got it in his hand, but since he authorized the Rabbi to take it on his behalf, so it's considered as if the Shoichet fulfilled the Mitzvah, and then the Kohen tells the Shoichet, you can keep it for yourself. So that's Rav Yosef's Chiddush. If the Kohen has a young Talmud, Tzur Mirabban usually means Talmud Chacham younger than 40. Tzur Mirabban means young. Young and upcoming Talmud Chacham younger than 40. In his B'shiv Yevusi, in his neighborhood, Tchikale Milsa, the Talmud Chacham is poor, V'zakale Matanta, let him put up a sign that I authorize the Talmud Chacham to accept Zorah L'Chayayim V'Keva on my behalf. Even though it never reaches the hands of the Kohen, that's okay. Since everybody knows that in this community we give the Zerah L'Chayayim V'Hakeva to this Kohen, so when they give it to the Yisrael, to the Talmud Chacham is Zoich on behalf of the Kohen, and he yotze the mitzvah, and then the Kohen gave permission to the Yisrael, he can eat it, so no problem. So the Gemara says, on one occasion, Rav and Rav Safra, Iklu Lebei, they were visiting by another person. Either Mar Yochanan Bei de Rav Chana, Barada, or Vamri, another version, Lebei Mar Yochanan Bei de Rav Chana, Bar Bizna. By the time the Gemara was written down, a few generations later, they forgot already whom they were visiting. But the outline of the story, they remember that these two Amorim, Rav and Rav Safra, were visiting by somebody. And Ovid Lehu Igla Tilto, oh, he had such choshev guests, two rabbis. So he shechted Igla Tilto, that's supposed to be a delicacy. Igla Tilto means the third calf that's born. When a cow gives birth to calf, so the third calf that's born is supposed to be something special, a delicacy. So he made something delicious. So they shechted Igla Tilto. So Rava was interested in tasting tongue. The tongue is the lechi. So the tongue always goes to the Kohanim. So he never tasted it. Obviously in the days of Rava, he lived in Bavel, they still gave Zerah L'Chayayim V'Hakeva. Rashi says later that the minig was developed later, that you don't give Zerah L'Chayayim V'Hakeva in Chutz L'Arts. So that minig developed later. So in the days of Abai Rava, they still did. So Rava asks the Shamus in the home, you gave me a piece of steak from the Igla Tilta, I would prefer if you can give me the Zrala Chayayim, the Hakeva. The Shamus, the waiter, happened to be a Kohen. And the Balabas, whoever he was, Yechon Abed, Rav Chana Barad, Abezna, whoever, the Balabas was Yisrael, and he always used to give Zrala Chayayim Hakeva to the waiter, to the butler in his home. So the butler was going to eat the steak. So Rava is not a poor man. Rava says, I'm interested in knowing what his tongue tastes like. I never ate tongue, because tongue is always given to the Kohanim. It's the part of the Zvala Chayayim Vakeva. So he asks, Zechilon Matanta, please do me a favor. When the Balabas gives you the Zvala Chayayim Vakeva, maybe prepare the steak for me. May give me the tongue. Instead of give me a delicious Igla Tilta steak, give me the tongue. The Beina Lamecha Lishtan Vachardla. I want to know what it tastes like. I want to eat tongue dipped in mustard. Zochilei. So the Shama said, okay, the Balabas is going to give me the Zorach, and I'll give it to you. So Rava Ochel, Rava ate it, because Rava is the one who requested of him, and his buddy who was there with him, Rav Safra, lo yochel. Rav Safra didn't want to eat it. Akriyolei la Rav Safra b'chalma. So that night they went to sleep. So Rav Safra had a dream that they were telling him in his dream, a pasuk, Ma'ade beged b'yom korek, if you wear shmata clothing on a chilly day, so it's not going to keep you warm. You have to wear a few sweaters, you have to wear warm clothing. If you wear torn begodim, adi is a shmata. So if you wear biyom kara on a cold day, you're going to wear shmatava clothing. Chometz al neser, it's like pouring vinegar on good stuff. You're just going to ruin it. It's a waste of your energy. And the same thing with shor bashirim alevra. The same thing is, if you're going to sing beautiful music to a person who doesn't have the sensitivity for the music, are you going to tell Divrei Torah to one who doesn't appreciate Divrei Torah? So it's a waste. So he had this dream. So he understood the dream to mean that he was praving a chumre. He thought that Rav Yosef was wrong. Rav Yosef said that the Kohen has the right to give the Zrala Chayayim HaKeva to Israel, even if he never got it. Even if he never got it. So the butler in the home where these two Talmid Chacham, Rav and Rav Safra, were about to eat, the butler told the chef, make the tongue for Rav, and he never got it in his hands. But since he was the Makori Kohuna, everybody knows that the Balabos always gives to this fellow who works in his house. So it's considered as if he got it, and he gave it to Rav. So Rav Safra didn't want to eat, and Rav Safra didn't want to rely on Rav Yosef's psak. So he had a dream, your chumras are like shmatas. It's ridiculous. So Rav Safra was shaken up. So he wakes up in the morning, he goes to Rav Yosef, also become the Rav Yosef, Amali. So he says to Rav Yosef, could it be because I violated your psak? You said, Allah said that that's fine. Even if the Kohen never gets the Zohar Chayayi Vakeva in his hands, as long as everybody knows he's Makarikun, everybody knows that it goes to him, so he can even authorize the Israel to eat a Dilmam Shum Da'ari Ashmaita Demar. Could it be Akriyan Hochi? They read me this pasuk in my dream to give me Musa that I did incorrectly. I violated your psak. Amalei, he said, no, you didn't violate my psak. I would never say it in this case. I would say it in the case if it's initiated by the Kohen. The Kohen feels bad for the Talmid Chacham who doesn't make a parnasa. So the Kohen hangs up a sign in the shul, in the community. Whoever wants to give me Zrala Chayayim Vakeva, I appoint this Talmid Chacham as my representative, give the Zrala Chayayim Vakeva to him. Here, the thing was initiated by Rava. It wasn't initiated by the Kohen. And Rava is the guest in the home of the Balabas. The Balabas always gives the Zrala Chayayim Vakeva to the butler, so the butler has no brera. What's he going to say? No. He's going to say, no, I'm not going to give you the tongue. He has no bear. So he twisted his arm. He twisted his arm till he broke it off. Mm-hmm. So he says, I would never say it over there. So Rav Yeshua says, you didn't violate my psak. I only said it by someone else, not by the butler. Shama, but the shamus in the home. You're twisting his arm. And I only said it if the Talmid Chacham is poor, and Machnish then came Parnassus, so the Kohen feels bad for him, so he hangs up a sign on his own. The Kohen initiates, he hangs up a sign, whoever wants to give me Zrala Chayayim Vakeva, I authorize you to give it to this Talmid Chacham, and he's going to take it on my behalf. then it's fine. Abaha, Efshalei, Rava was not a poor man. Rava wanted to know, what does it taste like? He never tasted tongue in his life, because they always gave away the tongue to the Kohanim. So he says, I would never allow it in this case. I would never allow it in this case. And you are right that you didn't. So Freg de Gemara, Vela my time, Akran Hacha. So Rav Safra says, so why did they tell me in my dream? They gave me over the head in a dream that I did wrong. So he says, Klapi Rava. No. They told you the pasuk that was to tell it over to Rava, that Rava did wrong. The Rava did wrong by yes eating the tongue. You did right. So Rav Safra says, so why did they tell me the pasuk? They should have told Rava the pasuk in his dream. But they told it to me. Frekta Valekri and Le Rava. Why didn't they tell the pasuk in Rava's dream? Why did they tell? I had the impression they bopped me over the head, Ben Hashemayim. So they said, so Rav Yosef answers, Rava Nozav Hava. Ben Hashemayim, they were angry at Rava because he undertook this whole shtick. He said he wants to know what the tongue tastes like in Chardel. So Ben Hashemayim, they were angry. So they read you the pasuk and you should tell over to Rava that Rava did Shalai Kedin. But you did properly. You did Kedin. Maybe we'll just conclude one more line. And then the pasuk ends off, that pasuk in Mishlei. V'shor bashirim, if you sing music to a person who is a miserable, he's not a sensitive person, so he doesn't appreciate your music. So the Gemara asks, Pashta dekra b'maiksiv, in Mishlei, everything is written, a moshel and there's an imshal. So what's the pshuta shel mikra driving at? That's the first Rashi on Mishlei. Mishlei shleimai, everything is a mashal and initial. So the Gemara asks, Pashta dekra b'maiksiv, what is that pasuk referring to? If you sing music to a person who's not sensitive, he doesn't have the chush for music, so it's a waste. So the Gemara says, it refers to Amalei. So Rav Yosef explains to him, the pshuta shel mikra means, b'shein of the tam shein hoban. If you teach Torah to a person who's not a shomer mitzvahs. So Torah is good if a person is eager to hear Divrei Torah, and he'll appreciate it, so then you should tell him Divrei Torah. But if you tell Divrei Torah to a person that doesn't, he's not religious, he's not observant, and he's not interested in the whole thing, so then that's a terrible thing. You're not allowed to teach Torah to a Talmud Shein Hogan. Rav Goldwicht used to tell over, Rav Goldwicht Zechanel Rochi used to tell over that Rav Elvila Soloveitchik had some kind of a heart condition, so he had to walk a lot. At the end of his life, he had to walk a lot. So when Rav Goldwicht, so he used to take walks from Rav Goldwicht, so he used to tell him his whole biography. So each walk was 45 minutes, so he used to start when he was born. Then the next time they had a walk, he continued from there. And every session was a hemshech, hemshech. Never told him Divrei Torah, though. Never told him. And when he took a walk with Rav Shach, he was always telling him Divrei Torah. So after many months, he asked him, how can you only tell the Divrei Torah to Rav Shach? Why don't you tell me the Divrei Torah? So he said that there are midrashim on the psukim. I never looked it up. He said the psukim, I think in Shir HaShirim, that you should only tell the Torah to a person who loves it and enjoys it and appreciates it. So Rav Shach jumps out of his skin. When I tell him a Shtikol Torah, he jumps from joy. You, when I tell you a Shtikol Torah, you enjoy it. But he's not going to tell. He's only going to tell if he jumps from joy. That's what the Gemara says, Shor Bashirim, if you sing to a person who has a Lev Ra, you Malam Torah to Talmud Sheinu Hogan, and say that's not proper. You shouldn't teach Torah to a Talmud Sheinu Hogan. And then the Gemara says, it's like a person, it's like Kizarik Evan Lamarkulis. Gemara says, Omar Rav, five lines from the bottom, Kol Hashem, Talmud Shein Hogan, if you teach Torah to a Talmud, it's not Roy Lekach, it's like Zarek Evan Lamarkulis. What does it mean? So the Marsha says, you want to be Mevaza Markulis. So you throw a stone. But that's the way they worshipped Markulis. And when you throw a stone, that becomes part of Markulis. Blends and it becomes part of the Avodah Zarah. So you think you're teaching Torah to the Talmud Sheinu Hogan, you think you're going to accomplish something. No. The Torah is, you're adding on to his Hamaratzis, and he's going to misuse the Torah. It's not going to work him. It's not going to purify him. The Talmud has to be interested. It has to be open to your suggestions. Okay. We almost finished the Perek. Okay. We almost finished the Perek. I think for next year, we're going to have to start the new Masechta. I was thinking maybe learning the end of Yevamos. I don't think we never learned it yet. Has Halacha L'Maaseh, has the laws of Chalitza, has Heter Agunas. That's a possibility. Every week we have a takana from the Chachamim for long, long, many centuries that you have to lay in a haftarah that has a shaychus with the sedra. So a lot of haftarahs, there's an obvious shaychus with the sedra, and very often there's an addition to the superficial obvious shaychus, there's always a hidden connection as well. So in Parshas Korach, the theme of the parsha is the rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the manig of the generation. And Korach is ma'arar on the whole Messias of Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's what happens in Sefer Shmuel. Shmuel HaNavi was the leader of the Jewish people, and they wanted a melech, and they don't want, they tell Shmuel, retire, we're not interested in you continuing to lead us. So there was a rebellion against the leadership of Shmuel. So that's the simple, superficial connection between the Sedra and Haftarah. But if you look a little further, I think there's another connection which is deeper and perhaps even more important than that one. In Shulchan Aruch it says that on Chanukah, when we recite Birchas HaMazon, there is a minig that we say Ve'al HaNisim. To say Al HaNisim in the Shemoneh Esrei, that's a Takanas HaChachamim, that's in the Gemara. But to recite Al HaNisim on Chanukah and the Birchas HaMazon, the Gemara said that's only Rishus. It's not a Hefsik. You're permitted to, but you're not obligated to. So if you forgot Al HaNisim in the benching, it's obviously you don't have to repeat the whole Birchas HaMazon because it's only a minig in the first place. So the Rama writes in Hilchas Birchas HaMazon, if one forgot to say Al HaNisim, so he doesn't repeat in Chanukah. Purim is the machlekes, but he has to repeat, because Purim is a chiyuv suda. So maybe you're not yet to the suda, like on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you're mechuyev to have a suda, so if you don't say Ritzei, you don't say Yal V'Yav, you're not yet to the suda. So in Purim, there's a Magen Aram has a machlekes, but in Chanukah, you're not obligated to have a suda, so you're not obligated to mention Al HaNisim. So if you benched and you forgot it, so the Rama says at the end of the Birchas HaMazon, you say Harachman, Himachalainu, Yalambo, Rachman, Yisbach, Hashemayim, Vavarets. So you add another Harachman, Hu Yasalon and Isim, and the Flores, Kashem, Shal Sisal, Avsena, Bayam, Abhaim, Azman, Azeh. And then you say, Bimei, Matisar, Binyachan, and Kangor. So the Shari Tshuva there, next to the Behete, then the Shulchan Aruch is bothered with Akashi quotes from the Panim Meiris. How can he ask for an S? There's a Mishnah, the last Mishnah in Bracha says, you're not permitted to daven for an S. How can say Rachmani Asalon and Nisim in the flaws? You're not permitted to ask for an S. So he gives three klolim. He says, number one, you're permitted to ask for an Nes Nistar. Nes Nistar means Hashgacha Pratis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does Hashgacha. He's not changing any Chukki HaTeva. So that you're permitted to ask for. Then even an Nes Nigle, unusual, if you're asking on behalf of Klal Yisrael, so Klal Yisrael is Lamalim and HaTeva, to ask for an Nes Nigle on behalf of Klal Yisrael, that is permissible. And even if it's a nes for a private person, it's not for a Klal Yisrael. If he's an unusual tzaddik, then the Gemara says they may ask for a nes. And the Gemara in the end of Brachas has a person, a woman is pregnant, and she has already so many boys, she wants a girl, she has so many girls, she wants a boy, so the Gemara says you're not allowed to ask. If it's in the first 40 days, so the doctors say it's not yet determined, it's going to be a boy or a girl. They're all girls. Then if it's going to be a boy, it turns out it changes. After on 40 days it'll change, it becomes a boy. So if it's in the first 40 days, so it hasn't yet been established, hasn't yet been determined. But it's after the first 40 days, then it's not permissible. But Leah was mispalo. She realized she was pregnant with a boy, and it'll turn out that her sister Rachel will only have one of the Yud Bei Shvatim. And there'll be less than the Shvachas. Bila B'Zilpah each had two of the Shvatim, and Rachel is only going to have one. So Leah davened HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she knew B'Rach HaKadosh is going to be a boy, so she inspired a change, it should be a girl. So the Gemara said, you see that she prayed for a miracle and she was answered. The Gemara says, Ein maskir ma'aseh nisim, that's a nes, and she was an unusual tzaddikus. They have the right to be mispalah for nisim. And that's the whole Pirkei de Chassidut, the whole Perek and Maseches Tainis that tells story after story about different tzaddikim who prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He made nisim for them. Mamish nisim ashini hateva. Those unusual tzaddikim have a right to be mispal. So if you look in the Sedra and in the Haftarah, that's the additional theme that they both have in common. In the Sedra, Moshe Rabbeinu says, everyone should stay away from Korach v'Hadassah. In Bria, Yiv Hashem Efotzes Sohadama Es Piha. So Rashi quotes from the Bar. In Bria, if the Piha Aretz was created in Sheshes Mebreishes, if the Piha Aretz is here, so let them be swallowed up by the earth. And in Lav, Yiv Hashem, I'm calling out Kampana Kodesh Bochi, you should make a Bria now. Moshe Rabbeinu is praying to Kodesh Bochi, you should make a miracle. If there is no Piha Aretz, it should make a miracle. So that's repeated in the Haftarah also. And Shmuel HaNavi is angry at Bnei Yisrael, and he tells to them, Hayom Ktsir Chitim Hayom, Ekra Lashem, V'yitim Kovas Umatar. That season of the year in Eretz Yisrael never rains. After Pesach till after Sukkot, it doesn't rain. And if it rains, it rains for 2 minutes. You don't need a raincoat. Sometimes it rains for a little bit. Very unusual that it should pour. So he frightened them. They were petrified. He said it's going all the tool was out in the fields and it's going to rain. Everything is going to get ruined. So he says it's going to make a miracle. It's going to call upon Hashem. Yirkodus umotar. They were frightened, and then they asked him, please pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should stop the rain. So he stopped the rain. So that's what they have, the additional theme that they have in common, the superficial connection between the Sedra and the Haftarah is that they both talk about a rebellion against the leadership. And the Parsha Korach made a rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Haftarah, they rebelled against the leadership of Shmuel HaNavi. But the additional Kavanah seems to be that they have the same thing, that unusual tzaddikim are permitted to be mispalt HaKadosh Baruch Hu fanisim gluyim mamish l'mayla min ha'teva. Because just like for Klal Yisrael l'mayla min ha'teva, so unusual tzaddikim are also like that. I must have told over that I remember the one time that I visited in Panevez Yeshiva, we were there for a few days, so they were saying tehillim for one of the people in the Koilo who had cancer. So the mashgiach at that time was Rav Chatzka Levenstein. So he didn't, and in front of the Beis Medrash, Shmuel Razovsky was tall, and Chatzka was already an old man. He was in his 90s, he was hunched over, he was short. And maybe he was taller when he was younger, I never knew him then, but when he was an old man, he was very short. So he didn't want to say Tillim after Mincha. So then Shmuel Razovsky told him something, so then he said, okay. So they told us over later on what happened was, how can you ask for a nes? The fellow has cancer. What do you ask? Baruch Shalom, you should make a nes. So Shmuel Razovsky leaned over and he told them he has the same type of cancer that Pliny had, and Pliny was treated and he got better. So you see that b'derech hatev it's possible to get better. We're not asking for this. The mashgiach said, okay, then we're allowed to be mispalt. But if a person is so sick that the doctors say there's nothing they can do for him, b'derech hatev, you can be mispalt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have rachmanis on the chayla. You should have rachmanis, you should die in peace, you shouldn't suffer, you should die faster. But just they have rachmanis. But you can't ask for a refuah shleima. That's like asking for a miracle. So that's the haftarah.
So this conclusion today, tonight, is the last shir. We want to give first a karkat tov for Rabbi Schechter for 37 years that he gave us this shir. We learned so much. And also a karkat tov to Young Israel who gave us the place. So next year we will be in Yeshiva of Central Queens. I'll write the instructions and how to get there and what the what the procedure is going to be. And everybody should have a nice summer. We have a thickening and we finished davening now.
Very good. Thank you.